the work that you've done and your colleagues have done really in advancing these issues. And this is a particularly interesting session for me, listening to our first two speakers, which really laid an incredible foundation for what the goals, the directions, the activities that are going on now. I'm going to have a little different perspective, as John sort of suggests, in looking at some macro issues that I think really complement what our first two speakers have spoken about. Because the context here is about the vision care section and APHA, and how can we mobilize for greater impact given the limited resources that we're all that we all have. I was struck as I refine my remarks for today's presentation about where APHA is in this transition. I looked at its new logo, for example. I looked at its new tagline, and I looked at this issue of acting together and the importance of that. And while we talk about those things all the time, I question whether we're really at a threshold now for greater integration, greater coordination, and greater interdependence. So my theme today is really building on what the first two speakers said, but also looking at not so much the goals that we've laid out for ourselves, but the tactics that we're going to use. Because I think the tactics are very important in terms of translating those goals into the reality. The goals are fine, but the way we use tactics, which I think is what the new APHA message is all about, the integration, the coordination, and the interdependence. As I prepared my remarks, I went back to my student years, and it was interesting to see some of the American Optometric Student Association students here. And when I was a third-year optometry student, 1972, the APHA meeting was in Philadelphia. And it was quite exciting for me as a student, and these were in the early days of trying to develop a vision care section, and many of you will probably remember some of those early activities. And my job was to get as many students from PCO on a bus down to Atlantic City so we would raise hell about starting a vision care section. That was certainly a high note in my career because it spoke to political action, but it also spoke to integrating the profession of optometry into the larger healthcare system. At the same time, while that was a highlight for me, that same year I also had a low light. Because, again, as an optometry student, I had the opportunity to speak to some of my senior colleagues within the American Optometric Association. So it was a meeting for representing students, and I dared to talk about interdependence within the health profession system. And for those of you that know our profession and our evolution, you can appreciate that interdependence is not where optometry was coming from at that time. We were just emerging as an independent healthcare profession. And it took me a while, but I finally got it. We were both right in the sense that we were certainly an independent health profession in terms of our scope of practice, our legal authority to do the things we wanted to do, the foundation that was being built for an expanded scope of practice. But at the same time, that issue of interdependence, which I think is what the new theme of APHA and the points I want to make today, really stuck with me and has resonated with me for now almost 40 years. So when we look at the challenges that we have within the vision care section, my remarks will speak to building on all the knowledge and skills and the research that's been done, but looking very tactically as to how do we utilize these limited resources, what kind of strategic priorities do we set for the vision care section, and most of all, how do we align ourselves? Because I think this togetherness within the new logo and byline is about alignment within the organization and across the healthcare system. Because we talked about the complexity of the healthcare system. It is a maze, but at the same time, it's going to probably get more complicated. So when I look at integration can mean a lot of things to a lot of people. It can mean racial integration, social integration, educational integration. It can mean a lot of things. But what it means most importantly is it is somehow looking at how we combine the separate parts into a unified whole, how we look at the different players within that constellation that you laid out there, and how do we make them work together maybe more effectively and more efficiently. We look at coordination, we're looking at sequencing. How do we align things so that they sequence together? And when we look at interdependence, to me, is the most important, almost cultural challenge that we have within the healthcare system, that very often we have our own unique discipline culture that we bring to the healthcare system. How do we create a greater sense of interdependence, and how do we act on that within the evolving healthcare system? As I looked at the byline and the APHA, looking at together we can do better, sounds pretty good. But what does it mean? What does it mean? And is it another byline, or is it really a drive that we all feel internally that we can get to a blinking point, a threshold phenomenon, where in fact we can work? But it's interesting how they use the term, and I want to spend a little time on it, because I think part of the vision care section's challenge is to look at a tactical matrix that aligns with this theme of APHA. Because I think, given our limited resources, how do we best use it? But if you look at the science, the action, the health, the themes that we covered this morning, they all deal with this issue of together we will leverage cutting-edge research and promote best practices. Together we will adopt and put innovative policies and programs into practice. Together we will improve health for all people and all communities. What I'm suggesting this morning, as we look at alignment and tactics, I've suggested the future of vision in public health really will be defined to the extent to which vision care becomes integrated into the emerging patterns of health organization, health professions, education, and healthcare technology. So we look at our goals and tactics over the next year, there's some themes that I think we could develop a matrix around. Integrating the work that's been done across the organization, but looking more tactically as to how we look at integration within the changing patterns, look at health professions education and how it is brought to bear in having more impact in healthcare technology. So I have five major areas of comment and recommendation. The first is, can we look as a vision care section in developing strategies to integrate vision more fully into the emerging ACA, Affordable Care Act, health models, such as the patient-centered medical home model? I was struck by a number of the comments that Paul made this morning in terms of the maybe almost counterintuitive sense of what's going on, because the demand you would think is going to increase with the increase in Medicaid recipients, the inclusion of pediatric vision within the essential health benefits, and then Paul throws all this ice on and say, maybe not. Not as big as we might think. But that's a challenge, and I think either way, I think it creates an opportunity for us to really dig down more deeply and look at these new emerging organizational patterns, such as the medical home model. It's interesting, at the last American Academy of Optometry meeting, I was struck, I was not there this year, but they dealt with many of these same issues. And to me, it speaks to, again, integration and coordination as to how we align ourselves not only within APHA, but across organizations to get more impact. For example, they had a number of presentations. For example, the Naval Branch of the Health Clinic in Yuma, Arizona, has already piloted a medical home model and optometric and vision care integration. So we have a lot that we can learn from them. And there are a lot of other examples across the country. So my first message is looking at new organizational strategies, health delivery strategies, such as the medical home model, and ask the question, what can the vision care section do to promote our integration, vision's integration? Because I think this historical discipline orientation that we all naturally have as part of our genome is a liability. It really is a liability, but it's natural too. So the challenge is to go beyond ourselves and looking at these new models, because they're all saying the same thing as far as I'm saying, as I look at it. The driver is certainly cost effectiveness, but whether we look at PC MHs, or we look at accountable care organizations, they're all driving us to more cost-effective models that imply team approach, that imply integration, that implies vision being part of a larger holistic approach to healthcare. They're nice words. It's going to require a lot of aggressive action on the part of groups such as the vision care section to make sure that vision is not only integrated, that we can project the pluses and minuses of that integration, as Paul was suggesting. We have to really study that. But what might look like an incredible move ahead might not be as big as we might project, depending on how it's implemented. So my first message is look at ways that we, through our section, can integrate us into the evolving healthcare changes. Use the medical home model and the accountable care organization, which from my end are speaking to integration, coordination, synergy across programs. The second area is looking at the area of electronic health records and communication. Because if we talk about integration, coordination, and team approach, the essence of it, as I see it, is whether synchronous or asynchronous, it's about sharing information for more timely, cost-effective clinical decision-making. We have an interesting project at our university where we are trying to set up a multi-sensory institute for rehabilitation involving vision, hearing, occupational therapy, speech language, et cetera, et cetera. We started a project at McGee Rehab Hospital just a few weeks ago. And the first challenge that we had is that our optometrists and OT going to the center could not easily access and exchange information with the hospital. And if you're looking at a team approach to healthcare delivery, whether it's the medical home model or other models, which involve providers not only within a system but across systems, you're going to get into these huge compliance and technology issues about how you move protected information from one trusted provider to another trusted provider outside the system. So part of my message here, number two, is, okay, we see these changing healthcare delivery system, but to me the essence of making those systems work in an integrated way is the movement of clinical data, of information in a secure, compliant way that gives teams of providers the opportunity to make more effective, cost-effective, value driven decisions. Not a small issue. So that underlying all this nice or macro reorganization is this issue of moving protected data across the system. I would imagine at some point we'll have intelligent systems that can handle all of that, but in the meantime, we're still going to rely on human beings getting access to timely information to make decisions in the best interest of the patient. So with the new IT requirements in medical home models and accountable care organization, the second challenge I would give to the section is looking at this other really underlying issue of moving information, protected information, because that can really work for us or against us. So we're finding, for example, in the McGee Rehab Hospital situation, we're trying to integrate vision care and vision rehabilitation with the physiatrist and all the other team players at the hospital. We couldn't easily exchange information without having the compliance cops come down on us. Okay, so there are significant challenges there that can promote vision's integration into new systems, and IT has to be part of it. And I know we all live with those challenges. The third, and which I think is very, very important, even more fundamental than how we organize a team and new health service delivery models, and more important even than the IT component, I think is the next generation of health professionals that come into our system. And I'm sure you've all been exposed to your institutions or in your organizations, there is IPE mania out there. IPE standing for interprofessional education. Again, going back to my student days, IPE is all over the place now, from the World Health Organization, which has global competencies in interprofessional education, to AAMC, to you name it, everyone has a set of competencies for interprofessional education. And that's a good thing. because all the things that I said earlier in terms of new delivery models imply that practitioners know about each other, respect each other, and have compatible cultures. And that's one of the new things that I'm finding is that our cultures across the disciplines are quite different. And you might have all the tools, but do you really have the motivation and sense of how to work together as a team? So this behavioral science part will come out more and more again. So this IPE movement is, I think, of overall a very positive movement, but also has to be looked at as a challenge and an opportunity for the vision care section. For example, we talked about the National Health Service Corps as a possible project within there. What I'm suggesting is if we align, you know, our projects, very tangible, maybe doable projects, with in a matrix format with these key strategic directions of APHA and the healthcare system, we might look at National Health Service Corps project a little differently in terms of how not only we achieve, let's say, expansion of the National Health Service Corps to involve optometry students, for example, but how do we expand in such a way that we maximize these trend lines that are occurring within the system. Again, IPE is motherhood and apple pie in a sense. We should work together. I think IT will make it easier for us to work together, but it's really not a new idea. If you look back 40 years, I know in Philadelphia it was special project grants from the old HEW had what was called the Philadelphia Health Interdisciplinary Health and Education Program. Podiatry students working with optometry students, working with pharmacy students, et cetera, et cetera. It was fine. It was a great idea. It was a great experience, but it really didn't have much traction then. I think we're at a different point now. We're interprofessional education, driven by new delivery models, driven by new IT technology, and driven by a renewed sense of working together at leadership organizations such as APHA, I think can make interprofessional education that much more effective tool in driving the system into the future. I end up with one example here of an interprofessional team-based approach that is using IT technology. And this is the VA model looking at sensory rehabilitation models. I know, John, you're familiar with it, but they're just about ready to release clinical recommendations for the eye care provider. I bring this out because it's a great example of vision and public health in an integrated, multi-sensory, interprofessional paradigm. And I think we can learn from these models and we can apply the experiences and the lessons learned from these models, again, to the work of vision care section. Because we're going to have limited resources, limited time, and I think looking at what has worked and where things are going in terms of this integrative, multi-sensory approach will be an excellent way to move things forward. Let me conclude with the last tactical suggestion that I would bring to the vision care section. And that is, again, picking up on some of the things that Paul said today. To me, it seems clear sooner rather than later, fee-for-service will disappear. Maybe not in my lifetime, but it's inevitable from my vantage point that it will disappear. And capitation or some other variations of capitation will take place. What does that imply for vision and public health? On the face of it, it might seem like a very positive thing for more people will have more access to more care and more services. But as these new organizational entities come about, we might see that there's some built-in barriers, whether it's the co-payment or some other barriers that on one hand provide greater access, on the other hand might limit the utilization of a service. So we need to look at that, especially in the pediatric vision component into the essential health benefits within the Affordable Care Act, and in particular also the Medicaid expansion. I think both of those two should be target areas that we can look at as a vision care section of how do we make sure that eye care, vision care is integrated into these new emerging systems. So in summary, these are the five areas that John asked me to come up with priorities, and that is one, looking at how vision and public health can be integrated into new delivery models such as the medical home model. Number two, look at the role of electronic health records that support team-based care, integration, coordination. Looking at interprofessional models. For example, National Health Service Corps, wouldn't it be great to expose our students not just to a core discipline-specific experience, but an integrated professional experience? And when all else is equal, we choose the integrated ones. Look at current success stories such as integrated multisensory rehabilitation in the VA. And lastly, looking at these trends in fee-for-service decapitation. I think this last one, even though I didn't say a lot about it, really comes back to Paul's comments, and that lurking within these mega trends are some landmines that we need to take note of and plan accordingly and tactically respond to. All right? Thank you very much. Appreciate it.